Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. The Irish Tweed is actually very breathable in sub-Saharan Africa.
Tell me, you were looking well now in a few of the pictures that you sent us.
Tommy.
You looked appropriate. You looked like you were at home out there.
So will I
start from the start?
You were in Malawi.
No, I can't tell the story the way you tell the story.
No, but I like the journey. You got taken up to Dublin Airport.
Where did you fly from? That's not the way I tell stories.
Oh God, but I want to hear the journey, Tommy. We're all on a journey.
Okay, Hector, tell us the time you went to
Addis Ababa.
Yeah.
No. Tell us about the journey, Tommy. Where'd you fly? Irish people like to fucking fly.
Hector's like your mother there.
Where'd you fly from?
Tell your uncles how you
Dublin
got
to where?
Do you sometimes dress up as your mother and pretend that she's still alive and talk to me?
Okay, tell us about the flight into
No, I'll
Africa.
Tell you nothing.
Stand up there,
Did
Tommy.
Did you land in Addis Ababa?
Look, stop. Can I just let the story come out of my mouth the way it wants to?
I tried to start the story by saying a couple of days ago we walked around Galway looking for...
Yeah, I find this oppressive. You're trying to get me to tell the story.
I'm trying to paint a picture for the person who's loading fucking meat in the butchers and bruff.
But you can't paint a picture because you don't have the paintbrush. I have the paintbrush.
What about Leonard's first fixing? He's listening to this. Okay, you paint a picture, Tommy.
So, well, I don't paint pictures, actually. I just follow sentences.
I landed in Africa.
Throw it on. Go on.
Yeah.
So we started off on the flight home from Lilongwe. And that is a beautiful. As I said, the fella who was driving us to the airport said, it'll take a bit of time to get there. And I said, it's a long way. To Lilongwe. And I have to say that one of the things that happened on the trip was just fucking reminded of my utter and total stupidity. Like, I really do fucking, I exasperate myself. I get these rushes of blood and I say things and I wonder afterwards, who would, like, I was sitting at a table with, it was myself and two African men and three African women, and I told a story that had an African accent in it.
So oh, no, I'm there with these people. Please tell me you didn't.
I did, yeah.
Oh, God. And did you even see yourself walking? Did you even think to yourself the line before, oh, I shouldn't be in?
And I further compounded them by one of the fellas was a fantastic looking athlete, a fellow by the name of Lawrence. And he went out running with Quiva, who's they went for a jog at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he came back and he says to me, oh, she's a lot fitter than she makes out. You know, we ran up hills and everything, and then she was well able for it, but I'm going to push her hard tomorrow, you know, just to see if she's fit for that. So it came up at the dinner table and I just got this fucking dopamine head rush of stupidity. And I said, you did not, Lawrence. You came back to me and you said, tomorrow I'm going to push her very hard. We are going to go up the hills and then we'll see how much fit she is. Nobody, I will beat her. Tomorrow I will show you. I will beat her. And everyone's laughing. Everyone's kind of going,
oh no.
Everyone's laughing. And then I get back to the room that night. And I who does that? Who fucking does that?
Is that like a little monster that comes out?
The fuck does that?
You're inner African.
And I was thinking then, imagine if he was telling a story and he went, and then Tommy said, oh, sure, but Jesus, big horror, a bit of holy. So, but because I was hanging out with people that I don't know, I was more conscious of this kind of stuff like that that I do. So I was sitting at another dinner. I was sitting at this...
Inappropriate.
I was sitting at this dinner table. So we kind of headed out to the country during the day, deep into rural Africa. And like, you'd be on a main road, but a main road wouldn't be a main road like we have a main road. A main road would be a road here that has been abandoned for a long time. And people walking, fuck me, on the left and on the right, and trucks and cars flying past. You'd see a group of fucking toddlers and not an owning adult in sight, just walking by. Where the fuck are they going? Women with buckets on their heads and walking, everybody walking. And then you take a left. And a lot of the roads in Africa are just clay. Red clay.
No pavements around there.
Not pavements.
It's fucking mad.
Well, like, where are they walking? On the side of the road?
There's no pavements. There's no fucking... there's no centre.
No zebra crossings. Well, sometimes it depends on the Serengeti.
Yeah. And... Okay. This is... You've already... What, you're going to do the jokes now, is it?
You fucking liked that one, didn't you?
I didn't even get it.
She didn't even get it. That's how good it was. You know you're onto a good joke when the expression on Larisa's face doesn't change.
And Larisa, you know you're onto a real good one when after about a second, Tommy goes, and he points on.
But can you explain it to me?
Zebra crossing the Serengeti.
Only in the Serengeti. That doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. We'll leave I get that it now.
Do you get it?
I do, yeah. I get it now with the zebras. Yeah.
Dirt roads and sand.
And then we take a left off that again, and t'was like... It was more like falling down the stairs than driving, like 2 or 3 hours of just fucking, either you're getting rattled. So we go out to the country, like rural Africa.
But is there much of a difference between the town and the rural Africa? Like, is it much different?
So 70% of the population in Malawi is subsistence agriculture. So they just, their whole tradition of life for thousands of years has been, we grow enough to feed ourselves and shin a. That's it. And it was seeing the difficulties they're having with that because of the way the weather was changing. So normally you get a cyclone every 30 or 40 years. But because the world is heating up, they've had 4 cyclones in the past 5 years. Like wow. 4. The most recent cyclone, there was Cyclone Anna, Cyclone something else. And you won't believe this. You will not believe what they called the last fucking cyclone that did more damage than an other fucking cyclone.
Always women's names, are they?
Wait till you hear this. This cyclone came into Malawi, destroyed the place, fucked off back to Madagascar and back in and fucking battered them again. And they called it, that's right, Cyclone Freddy. Cyclone Freddy. Cyclone fucking Freddy.
A tempest.
Oh, I tell you.
Oh, he wrecked.
Some damage.
He wreaked
some
havoc.
Fucking damage.
Wrecked the place.
Your man said to me, the last cyclone we hear was Cyclone Freddy. And I said, say no more. Say no more.
Freddy Kyogen.
I'd say he did some fucking damage, huh? So in the evening then we drive. Now the cities are fine. Like the cities
but
are...
But like, are they like a city in like America or
no,
a city in
no,
England?
No, like...
How big is Lilongwe?
It's about from here to... I can't remember. I don't know the population
but
size.
But like, is there a supermarket in it? Is there
there'd be shops and hotels and businesses and ads and restaurants and schools and universities. It's like last time in Somalia that it's not the people in the city who are fucked. It's the people out the country. And if 70% of the people in the entire country are subsistence farmers, then the other 30% are in the cities.
So there'd be like furniture shops and...
Oh, fuck, whatever you want. Fucking mobile phone shops. Like, it's a proper functioning city. A lot of people kind of just hanging around now. You know, fellas sitting on walls and selling bicycle pumps and mice. They ate mice.
Right?
They do. And anyway, so we're back in the restaurant anyway. And I'm sitting beside this. There's 5 white people and 1 black lady.
What was the restaurant like?
A fine, beautiful restaurant. Like a restaurant you'd go to.
What kind of food was it like? Is it like an African restaurant or a Mediterranean restaurant or an Italian restaurant?
So mayo with your questions.
No, but I'm trying to visualise it. Like, was there tablecloths on the tables?
No.
Was there condiments on the table?
What have you had about Africa?
Yeah, but was it just would you walk in and say, oh, this is an African restaurant?
No, not out loud.
Obviously not out loud. But like, did it look different from...
No, it didn't. Well, apart from the fact that everybody there was African.
What was the name
of
it?
Did they have plates?
The Grill 21 Club. One thing I noticed.
So it's an American steakhouse.
Well, an African steakhouse. So you could eat crocodile and goat and all the type of malaki. Okay. A lot of African people eat with their hands, and it was lovely.
So no cutlery.
No, there was. You could get cutlery, but I'll say it again. A lot of African people eat with their hands, but there was cutlery there.
Okay, okay.
Right. So I was using a knife and fork, but they were doing. There's a special fish from Lake Nile called chumbe or something like that, and they would kind of they just go at it with their hands.
And Tommy, what you introduced as a comedian, did they know what your job is away from all of this? When you landed in Malawi, did people, were you introduced as, this is Tommy Tiernan?
No, every
did they ask you the people you're hanging around with, what do you do for a living?
At a tribal meeting or a some sort of get together between the Trokra crowd and the villagers. And the villagers would have, villages were small, maybe 10 or 20 houses, slightly bigger ones then, maybe 20 to 50 houses. But when Trokra arrived, the chief of the village would come and chat, you know, and everybody had to give an introduction. So the first time I said, hello, my name is Tommy, and I'm an entertainer.
Right, well, that
like, what do you say? Like, what do you fucking say?
And then were they waiting for you to make them laugh?
I'm the coach of the under-11 Barn of soccer team.
Did they think you were going to start juggling or
why
something?
Why do you say, I'm a broadcaster?
I'm a broadcaster. Hello, BB Baskin. I'm a broadcaster.
I'm an entertainer. Then the children expected you to juggle
and take out a guitar and go, somebody say, somebody say, hello, hello, hello. Somebody say, homeless, homeless. Join in if you know it. Moonlight sleeping on the midnight lake. We're homeless. So anyway, so
I want to know what did you eat in the restaurant.
I had this is called beef tornadoes. I mean, this is a restaurant.
So you stayed, you based yourself in the long way.
No, it's first night in the long way
in a hotel.
Yeah, second night then we were in Dedza. Third night in Palumbo. Fourth night I can't remember where, and then we were Blantyre, and then back to Lilongwe. And the hotels were fine. The cities are fine. Cities right. are totally ordinary, functioning places. But like I said, nearly three quarters of the fucking population are out the road.
In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of the middle of nowhere.
Were you travelling a highest? What did you
travel in? Class of a fucking...
Rattling away for hours and hours and hours.
Four, you know, long hour trips, you know.
What about the heat, Tommy?
So the heat was probably mid-30s. It was phenomenal. The men that I met were really interesting. An African man's job, his one and only fucking job, is to look after his wife and kids. And I met all these men out the country, and they were saying, that's my job. My only role in society, and I thought it was beautiful, is to look after my wife and kids. And if I can't look after my wife and kids, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
There was no talk of individualism. Of course, they had, you know, my fellow said, well, I wanted to be a doctor or I wanted to be a carpenter in order to provide for my wife and children, but I wasn't able to do that. And that, I thought it was really an amazing thing to boil.
Simplicity
of it. Just the, and I thought it's a good thing for Irish people to hear, you know, people struggling in marriages up and down the country and finding it hard because we're on a quest for personal happiness and personal satisfaction. And a lot of these marriages in Africa would be arranged, you know. So they're not running with that. They're just saying, I have a wife and I have four children and my job is to fucking look after her and them. That's it. It gives your day a shape, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Why do they have arranged marriages? Is it because of the dowry or is it like none of them... In my eyes, they don't really have anything. So why are they arranged?
No, but some families might have a load of goats, tribes. Some family might have sheep. Some family might have a little bit of tiny bit of tillage. It all depends agriculturally what they have.
Would the husbands have to, like, in terms of looking after their wives, would it be killing animals and making their dinner? Like getting the food ready?
No, that's... You cannot believe how hard the women work.
Okay.
Like... The women do everything.
The hunting.
The men lie in the shade.
The men go off into the town to try and sell goats. Okay. Or, you know, I don't know what the fuck the men do, to be honest with you. They do something.
But what's their purpose if they're just to, provide so, the women or protect the woman?
So a man's job, a man would tell you, I'll get up in the morning and I'll go and I'll tend to the crops.
Okay.
Early, I'll get up at 5. I'll see how all the crops are doing. And then I'll head off... and I'd be gone all day maybe trying to sell a goat or trying to buy a goat or just... But it's the women who do the fucking work, man.
Oh, yeah.
Women cook the meals. Women do the work on the land. women look after the animals, women are walking to wells. With, I saw this woman, she was carrying a bucket on her head that held 40 fucking litres of water.
Jesus.
40 litres.
And she walking for miles.
And she had to, and she, we were talking to her, she had to do that trip 20 times a day.
What?
You know, and because clean water is a huge issue. Now, the country is mainly Catholic, but there were some Muslim, there's Muslim population there. And mosques have this thing of when you, the part of the Islamic thing is washing yourself, isn't it? It's some, you wash your hands and your feet or something and your face, yes, before you pray to Allah. So the mosque would, when it was, mosque was being built, they'd have clean, fresh water beside them. So it's almost like the Muslim Malawians were kind of sorted because they had water. Yeah. But some of the Catholic and Christian ones, they had to walk for maybe, you know, 5 kilometres doesn't sound like much, but it's 5 kilometres there in the fucking heat.
40 litres of water.
And they feel the heat the same way we do. Like you might think, oh, they're living in Africa they're used to it. I was boiled and this fella says to me, it is hot. Like, do you know what I mean?
So well, they use the shade. They look for shade. Tommy,
where in Africa did you go now?
Oh, well, did you stop in Addis Ababa on your way down?
On the way, see, we weren't able to stay anywhere, but it was just on the way home. We're like,
what do you mean you weren't able to stay anywhere?
Well, we couldn't leave the airport.
Oh, yeah, flights were
so
connecting.
It was awful funny. I knew Liverpool were playing Spurs.
So what was the airport like?
Proper international airport.
Okay.
Not proper, you know, like a...
bars and...
Totally.
Television.
Yeah. They're mad for the Premiership in Africa. They're fucking mad for the Premiership, right? And I was kind of glad to be away from it for a while. But I knew, someone had the information had gotten to me that Liverpool were playing Spurs this particular day anyway. So we were flying into Addis and I was looking at the time. I'm sure I might catch the fucking end of that because I knew there was a bar there that had a fucking television, you know. I might catch the end of that match. Get off the plane. Fucking little speedy walk up to the bar with this fucking giant television the size of the side of a building.
Right, very modern airport.
And everyone's looking at it. And I walk into the bar, look up at the telly. Matip scores a known goal and I go, Ara, fuck yeah, and I walk out again. But it was the names of the places that I got a buzz out of on the way home. So, you know, we left Lilongwe and we flew into the Congo. And even if you never got out of the plane, Congo. If somebody calls you, says, where are you going? I'm going to the Congo. And then we flew from the Congo to Addis Ababa and Addis Ababa. You know, it was the names, yes, of the places I got a buzz out of. We weren't allowed to leave the plane.
Did you have a, like Tommy, Malawi?
Beautiful people though. I mean, Jesus. And
so
fucked.
Not dangerous at all there?
No. Malawi's different to, and there's a civil war thing going on in northern Ethiopia now and in Niger.
Sudan, all them places.
They've never had a war in Malawi. And they refer to themselves as the warm heart of Africa. There's no internal fighting in the country. There's corruption, but no internal fighting. They've never had a war.
So do they have like oil or do they have natural resources?
They can grow tea, they can grow tobacco, and they can grow coffee, and it's one of the things that I can't remember.
And what about drugs? Like,
Malawi tea is one of the most famous cannabis plants in Africa. It's renowned for its potency and it's not a business. So you can't, a farmer couldn't do it really.
They drink it, the locals drink
it. No, they don't go near it. So part of their way of communicating with one another and addressing social issues is through dance. So right. They'd have this, the way we have set dances and river dance, they would create stuff like that, every new ones every year, but they'd be about social issues. So there was one about gonorrhea. Right? There was a gonorrhea set dance. Right? So I'm there watching it and this fella's coming up and the other people are going, and they're all doing the fucking dance, right? And this fella comes up and he has a purple hand grenade over where his cock should be. Now, he's wearing a grass skirt, you know, but he has this kind of, it's a purple hand grenade and I don't know, it had to be explained to me afterwards what was going on. So he's there and then they all come over and they put their hand on the cock and they smell the fingers and they fall down.
Ah, stop it.
Just to show to reenact what can happen.
So, and then he isn't that dies. Amazing? So,
like a safety video.
Like a drama.
Like, do you remember the ads for the road safety authority? Yeah.
Or farm safety ads.
Or the one where, look for a safe code.
Or the one where granddad was beside the deck chair beside the river. Where's granddad? But looking after old people near rivers. So there was one then about smoking too much dope.
And what was that video
so
like?
It wasn't a video, it was a dance.
People were
dancing in front of me. Like, so that was where this fella had a massive joint in his mouth and he had a strange kind of mask on, and it was how the singing was about how advice was passed down to younger generations. So don't smoke too much dope. But that's how they kind of communicated with. But the thing that's annoying is that, like, I got talking to these four young climate activists, right? And I lost my temper with them.
Gosh.
Well, I didn't lose my temper, but I said,
what age were they?
They're in their mid 20s.
Right. All locals.
Well, they're from
from NGOs.
No. These were Malawian people who'd been to university, gotten degrees in sustainable agriculture and stuff like that, and worked on various different committees and had been different parts of the world talking about what's going on in Africa and Malawi. And I was saying to them, I'm not sure that what you're doing is going to have any fucking effect whatsoever. And I'm not here to speak on behalf of Trokra, who are doing phenomenal work here. But I think you've set up all these committees and you've set up all these study groups and you're talking to all these people and you've all these organisations. But unless you get the West to stop emitting carbon by the fucking bucketload, then your country is going to be even more fucked than it is. And I was saying to him, you know, I was talking about civil disobedience. I said to him, never mind your fucking committees now. Is it time to start breaking the law? There's a great documentary on Channel 4 called Is It Time to Start Breaking the Law in terms of climate activism. And I was saying to them, talking to them about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and the civil rights movement in America in the 60s, where people said, we're not fucking waiting around for white people to cop on. You know, that and the whole, the Black Panthers became militant and got guns, you know. And I was thinking to myself, if Africa gets angry, what happens? So do this loss and damage fund. So last year, every year there's a thing called COP, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Last year was COP27, this year is COP28. It's like a UN thing. All these countries gather around. And of course, the rich countries, the black countries get to say what's going on, and the rich countries get to say they'll do something about it, and nothing fucking happens, okay? So the African countries are asking for money. They're saying, we have caused fuck all of this, but we're suffering the most because it's our like climate change is affecting people in Ireland, but they can fucking adapt. We can't. 3/4 of our people earn living from the land, and the land is fucked. So what are you going to do about it? And the white European Western countries are saying, oh yeah, sure, we'll sort it out, yeah. And last year they set up this fund called the Loss and Damage Fund, where they agreed that yes, it's our responsibility and we will give you money. And they haven't done anything about it. They set up the yoke and they've done nothing. But I was thinking, what happens if fucking black people in Africa get angry?
It'd be a huge uprising.
Now, what if they get fucking
That's
angry?
A huge continent of countries.
Trying to get all of them to go onto the one page first. All of Africa, all of the countries, all some of them that are at war and fucking civil war here.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, how on earth can you convince those people in Malawi, those young climate change... What are those four kids going to do? Go and try and stand up at the top of Africa and say, come on, everyone, we need to stand up. And how
yeah,
the
but
hell
there is an
is
Africa.
That?
There is a new Africa rising. There's more education.
All the old
more
people will say it's God. And all the old people have this deference towards white people. And all the old people will kind of think that a white person needs to be listened to. And there's a kind of, they might have a slight inferiority complex when they're surrounded by, oh, it's a white person. A white person must be important, right? But the young black Africans, what I'm asking is what happens if they
that's, a,
say,
that's an uprising, that's hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Fuck you,
yeah.
The West, fuck you.
It's a powerful voice.
So what happens?
Yeah, but
what happens if they all create their own currency? 17 countries are
maybe. It'll be great if they could.
Africa is a changing continent. I know you're seeing a real fundamental agriculture and what's happening on the ground in the middle of the countryside, but Africa is changing. The cities are changing. There's more education. There are a lot of positives, but I hear what you're saying. Africa is a powerful voice.
If Africa gets mad... Right, so what happened to the West when the Islamic countries got mad? When Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, and some of the Saudi countries...
They all got involved fairly quickly.
What happened when they lost their... when they said, no, that's how fucking ISIS started. And they attacked the West, and it changed the way we had to live. It increased our security and made everybody vulnerable, and there's still attacks going on in different
parts
of the world.
But did it protect them? Like, it made us be like, oh, we'll protect ourselves and oh, we'll have these security checks. But has the damn thing changed for those people in those countries?
But I don't know. But I'm asking is, I'm not suggesting this is a way of going forward, but I'm saying, what happens if they get angry? What happens?
Someone's going to listen to them.
What happens if they say, fuck you?
Well, probably Malawi is the last place to have any clout if they have nothing there to offer the rest
but
of the world.
Billions, there's billions and billions of dollars of exports leaving Africa every day of the week. The Chinese are in there. They're in all those countries building infrastructure and building rail systems and building this, so they want to extract as much as they can. Africa's a very rich place and it's been mismanaged for a long time. But if they raise their voice and get unity, they will fucking shake. They could shake the world. You know,
so at the moment they're saying, In a beautiful, patient way, while their members of their own country are fucking dying, they're saying, "You did this to us."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, please help us out. And at the moment, so Ireland has got it's on some very important committee. The COP28 is happening in November. The Irish government are going to be there. So I'm asking the Irish government to be a government that we can be proud of. I'm asking the Irish government to be. To be something that, even if you disagree with internal politics, even if you disagree with some international policies, that whoever goes there representing the Irish government should do something that's in the same way we're proud of Michael D. Higgins, in the same way we're proud of Hurlin, in the same way we're proud of Katie Taylor, in the same way we're proud of all these heroes, that the politicians who are so elusive and do not encourage trust have an opportunity to stand for something more than their own re-election. They have an opportunity at COP28 to say, we need COP28 should fucking cop on. And they need to say, this loss and damage fund that we set up last year, it's absolutely intolerable that we haven't activated it, and we have to do that. Now, that's what I would like to see. I would like to, politicians we can be proud of. So it's over to them. The other thing then, though, is our own personal carbon. Like, I went on this website just to see what my own fucking emissions were like.
You're after coming back from Africa.
And I'm off to America.
Will you go away?
I'm off to America to do a fucking... I'm off the charts.
Yeah, you're off the charts, yeah. How do you do?
I'm 37 times higher than the national average in Ireland.
I don't know what I'd be over 25 years. But like,
you're worse than a cow. Tell me, are you? How do you put it? You put it in what? Well, you go into this website.
It's called Ren. It's the Ren or something. Ren.com. And you can.
So how are you going to counteract it?
What?
How are you going to reduce that?
I don't know. I mean,
you're over in Malawi telling four young people to go.
And there's me flying fucking business class.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the countries in Africa. Did someone say like Nigeria is like the most corrupt country in the world? It's second on the list because they reckon they paid to be second.
He's under house arrest. But what is it about the governments in Africa that they're so corrupt in most of the countries? And politicians are corrupt the world over.
Surviving, because they're just about surviving.
Yes.
And if you're a farmer in rural Africa, so their houses were made from it's red brick, okay? And it's baked clay, basically. The hen house would be a big house.
Yeah.
This would be luxury.
Just the size.
And then a cyclone can wipe that in a second.
Was that like Ireland 100 years ago?
Well, 200 years ago.
Without the climate change.
A lot of them don't have electricity.
Sure, how are they connected to the government or the cities?
Exactly.
These people, they're completely self-sufficient and they don't have any connection to the outside world. They don't have electricity, do they?
The problem is now they're not self-sufficient because of the weather.
Yeah, but they...
A lot of them don't have electricity.
So now their arch nemesis, their number one problem is climate.
Are they all living under different rulers? Like, is the countries all split up into different leaders?
There's different
tribes,
but there's...
leaders of tribes.
A leader of a tribe can't do anything unless he has access.
Of course, yeah.
To funds
what's
or something.
The community, what's it like as a community there, like in terms of little villages? Are they all protective of each other? Is there a lot of like different generations of families living?
They don't have nursing homes, like you were saying about Vietnam.
Well, of course they don't have nursing homes.
They don't.
Do they live to a long age?
If your mother is old and crazy... Then she's old and crazy in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's not...
something nice
Do they
about
have
that.
Like... Obviously because of the climate change and all the cyclones and all that, they're dying. But what's the average... Like what age do people live to? Are they old? Are there old people there? Or do they look old?
I saw very, very few old people. That's one that
But is it because they don't look old? Because like sometimes you see somebody...
I didn't see very many people with grey hair.
They wouldn't last that long.
But they mightn't have grey hair because it might be...
I didn't see up that many old people. That's basically what I'm saying.
What was it like after spending 7 or 8 hours in the van, and then you finally get to these little villages? What did you feel like, Tommy, when you were looking out the window and
just
you got it?
Boiled. You're boiled in the heat, and then you get out. And
did you have lunch in the villages or anything?
No. They might only have one meal a day, so they're not going to give it to you.
Okay. What would they have like?
Goats beans and. Maybe there's a maize dish that they have. It's called, I think, Sema or Suma or something like that. I loved it now. I have to say that I found that being next to African people settled me.
But that's because it's your natural habitat, because you were born.
I don't think so. I think there's something about African people. Do you know sometimes if you sit beside somebody who's agitated, it's like it's half contagious and you get fucking agitated as well. These people were just fucking settled and I just loved being beside them.
What about the colourful dress and the way
it slowed down my central nervous system being beside them.
Great smiles.
I fucking loved it.
So what about...
crack, you know.
Right, so what... Have you changed?
Have I changed?
And your thoughts?
I always come back from these things buzzed up and annoyed about what's going on in the world and asking that our politicians stand for something noble and heroic rather than just be kind of hustle scufflers.
You should have wore a heart monitor while you were there and then wore one when you were in San Francisco to see the changes. Like it must be such a slower pace over there.
But it's just nice.
Nicest thing that happened? When you sat with them after a while, were you sitting in the village with the chief or a couple of people, and was it just hearing their laughter or hearing their smiles? Was there a translator there for you all the time?
I guess making it, when I was in conversation with an African via a translator and I was able to make him laugh. I got a big buzz out of that. Maybe that's my way I'm part of me is wired. If I can make somebody laugh. And so I got talking to this fella. Their part of Malawi is going to be cut off. So the cyclone and the torrential rain and the rocks coming down destroyed the bridges. So when the rains come the next time, the water is going to go over the roads and they're going to be cut off. And he was saying to me, I don't have enough food to last me until the next harvest. I reckon I'll be 3 or 4 months with no food at all. And it's a long conversation. And he's telling me I wanted to be a carpenter, but it just I wasn't able to afford it to go to the town. And I have, you know, I'm married here and I have kids and stuff like that. And I said to him, how do you keep your wife happy? Right. And he says, every time I go to the market, and she works fucking hard, man. Every time I go to the market, it's beautiful. This is something like you do, Hector. He says, I pick up something for her as a present. And bring it back to her.
Beautiful.
They're fucking gorgeous.
No, that's nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Does it get married young there?
I'd say so, yeah.
Smiles on the kids' faces when you see them kids coming out. When you got out of that
van. Do they have a lot of kids?
Not too many now. The population has grown, but I think they're kind of between maybe 4 and 6
and
kids.
Can I ask
Wouldn't you? Be like other countries now where they're up at 8 or 9 kids.
Okay. So. Can I ask you, why don't charities take those people and move them to a safer place, like take them away from that area?
Because they
can't. There's no safe area, is there?
That's more displacement.
Yeah, you can't. Who do you bring?
But is it just not
that? How many of them do you take those 20,000 people that are going to be cut off in Palombe once the rains come? So being cut off means the only way that they're going to be contactable is via helicopter. That's the only way you're going to get supplies to them. And who the fuck has helicopters?
Yeah.
Right. So on a day-to-day basis, how are they going to survive? You can't take a village of...
So their crops are going to be washed away. So they'll have no food. So they'll have absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And is there no way of protecting them from getting cut off, like building walls?
Because the government won't build bridges.
It's hard to believe.
But why can't the charities do it?
Because they don't have that much. That's why this loss and damage fund that all these rich countries agreed to.
I sound like that. That sounds terrible. That sounds like an afterthought.
What?
Loss and damage
fund. Well, that's just the name of it.
It's fucking terrible.
And who gets access to that? The government or the charities?
Trillions of dollars, is it?
It would be for the governments, but the Western white powerful governments haven't activated.
But maybe that's because they're saying, oh, the government wouldn't use it for
because
that anyway.
So much.
Because the governments are corrupt.
It doesn't matter. There has to be some way of following the money to make sure it gets used.
I can guarantee you, China has gone into Kenya and they've built rail systems and motorways and bridges in return for their tungsten and their copper and their fishing rights. It can be done.
China is in every country in the world, Malawi.
And they will get projects made. This, if you're telling me there's trillions of dollars sitting there in a fund that cannot be accessed or does not.
No, they haven't done it because they're mad for the chat.
Fucking.
They're mad saying, you know.
But sure, like as if Ireland are going to make any difference in that COP28.
But sure, we have to start somewhere.
You have to start
like Davos. It's like Davos.
You stand for something. And you as the Dalai Lama says, you never give up. So you stand for something and it might seem impossible, but you keep saying, this is wrong. We need to do something about it.
But sure, why are all these countries in this bloody thing if it's only a talk shop? Like they're not.
It's the same as Davos when they all fly in. They talk and talk and talk and listen and listen and listen and nothing fucking happens. And the rich are getting richer and there's the fucking tax of the trillionaires around this world is just fucking ridiculous.
But then how come we can... So then there's obviously the money available because when there's a war in, say, like Ukraine or
the
wherever,
money is available.
The money is pumped directly there. So why is... what they're not important. Why?
That's not the question. Isn't that the question?
I feel sorry that
is it deeply racist? Is it? That's why it's called climate justice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's deeply racist. It's and it's not right.
It's hard to believe that in the country you were in last week, where it is so warm and so humid and so dry, and there's nothing there, and they're trying to be farmers, and then all of a sudden, in a couple of months, there will be torrential fucking floods. That will destroy everything.
And did they get diseases then as a result
of
that?
Yeah, they're mad for cholera. There's a lot of cholera.
Typhoid.
What's cholera? What does that do to you?
I'm not sure. It's bacteria in water.
Not good.
Typhoid, cholera, tell me, what's the local beer? There has to be a beer in Malawi because the Africans love beer.
Probably Tiger beer or the stuff.
No, it was something like Chichekwe or something.
Yeah. Was it good?
We passed through this place called Chikawawa.
Please tell me you stopped to get photos.
I said stop the car.
Chikawawa. Did you speak a little bit? How do you say hello in Malawi in one of the tribal languages?
Like, I don't. I think you should do something for Trokra. I think that's part of your gift. So I think that.
Well, I'm so proud that you're happy.
I love the way Hector. He's had 2 trips now, and he's had enough. So he's passing the baton over to you, Hector.
No, but I know what he's saying. I'm so happy that you've seen what I've seen.
It's all about him. It's all about
it makes me happy
that
you're being in the middle of it, Tommy.
About that too.
Being in the villages.
So I think Troker, both of you. You're a phenomenal fundraiser, Larita. Hector, I think you'd be great for Troker.
Yeah, but
I think you would. I think that if once a year you headed off somewhere for a week.
Okay.
For a week.
Okay.
And then came and back.
Just highlighted.
And talked.
Tommy, you're in the position. Highlighted. You do it now. I am doing it. Tommy, Hector will have to make a TV programme out of it.
No, can I ask about what Troker are doing in
Malawi? It's all tax deductible,
Hector. You do pay cash in hand. Cash.
Ah, fuck off with that cash jokes, you stupid.
Sorry, I just have to get it. You said you didn't hear him saying it to me.
Cash. Tony Cash.
Hey. Because you're mine. I walk the line.
What about what are Troker doing then on the ground in Malawi? Are they building springs? Are they putting in wells? Are they building schools? Or
this fantastic thing called the lead farmer. So what
I think
they do
that in Ireland too.
Do they?
No, I'm joking.
So what they do is they take a farmer and they will teach him how to get more.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Out of the small thing that he has.
Proper, yeah.
And so instead of getting the whole village and say, we'll teach you all, they teach one guy, and that one guy teaches two guys, and those two guys teach four.
Yeah.
And it's mainly women actually. So that's one of the things they do. They're involved. I don't actually know, but I don't know that they're in anywhere Troker are involved. It's either for justice, health, education,
and sustainability,
and also they're very involved in the kind of the how do you call it? Is it the international women's movement?
Super.
So getting women representatives on local tribal councils, very concerned about gender-based violence. All that type of stuff. It's all phenomenal. But I think you would be brilliant at it, Hector, because I think you have a gift for storytelling. That would, and you've also a gift for languages.
Yeah, but
and I think you'd be great at it. So once a year, I think you should go off to Africa.
We look into that
or some other country.
I just like the way they have a chief in charge. We should have chiefs like the chief in Knockmore, the chief in the chief
and
the
female chief, chiefs as well.
The chief. Imagine chiefs in our parish. We used to have chiefs in our parish. Couple of hundred
for
years.
For though,
there was one voice who minded the people. And that chief thing is something that's really interesting. The chief of the parish.
So we arrived in this place and they were singing the song to us. And I asked.
Did they do any kind of welcome ceremony for you?
Yeah. So these women were spontaneously singing as we arrived. We just were drove and we heard this. But this is a song they sang called Water is Life. And I leave you with this. And COP28, cop on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.